We present the news quiz with your host, Sandy Toksvig.
Quiz. We start with a cutting from the Guardian jobs page read by Harriet Cass.
International director sought for the Publish What You Pay campaign. Salary undisclosed.
Our thanks to Matt Deacon for sending that in. Now let's meet the teams. Will you welcome first, on my right, Jack D and Fred McCauley. And opposite them on my left, Susan Kalman and Jeremy Hardy. Jack, who's been coming over here and taking our community spirit away?
Well, we're talking about David Cameron?
Well, yes.
Was this the shock announcement that he actually would like to see fewer immigrants coming into this
country? I could hardly believe it myself.
I know, he presumably because there's not enough of them are getting into Oxford. Vince Cable has come out with the announcement that this is an unwise thing to say. Vince Cable is increasingly, he's a bit like in one of those heist movies, there's always the getaway driver. Who wants to be part of the gang, but and he knows he's up to his teeth in it. As if David Cameron gets in the car and says, come on, Vince, put your foot down, let's get out of here. And all he can do is say, you said you weren't going to use shooters, come on.
Vince Cable said, Cameron risked inflaming extremism, for which I recommend Caniston.
I think we can expect a succession of weird paranoid rants from Cameron. He's made this point. Immigration is a fantastic thing, but sometimes people get disoriented if a lot of people arrive all at one time in one place. All right, David, what's your point? Lots of women are frightened of spiders. Well, it's important that we recognise people's genuine anxiety about spiders and how they can feel overcrowded in the bath. And if we don't recognise it, then the arachnophobic paramilitaries will be encouraged.
I do think it's bad when people come along and they're not willing to learn the language, though, because we had a couple who moved in next door to us about 6 months ago. Have they learnt a word of Danish? Nothing.
It's offensive, isn't it?
It's annoying.
It's curious, because reading the blogs as the D went on, Vince said, it's not coalition policy, and then Nick went, no, it is coalition policy. Vince, do you remember we had that conversation? It's like speaking to a child. Now, listen, we talked about this. Remember, I gave you some Lego if you agreed with me.
The BNP were delighted. They said if we had a copyright on our manifesto, we'd have been right round with our lawyers to the Conservative office. And you think, I'm sure you can't copyright a beer mat with go home written in it. Does it have an impact in Scotland? I don't know if it makes the speeches.
Well, we're in the position where Scotland's indigenous population is actually dwindling away, and if it wasn't for migration, we'd have a falling population. So we're welcoming them with open arms, open doors, and...
And? Open what?
I don't know. Open switchblades, I don't know.
I'm going to give an extra point. Does anybody know how the Church of England is getting involved in the immigration debate?
Yes, I do. Well, the Church of England are going to clamp down on these sham marriages.
Mm. Yes. Big one coming up, isn't there?
Yeah, the big one. And the way they're going to test, apparently, is the vicar has to wait in the car park for them to arrive, and if it's obvious that they haven't been rowing about the route... or how late they are, then it's obviously it's not real.
Did you know what they had? There's a great bloke, the Reverend Shipsides, and he's one of the vicars arrested for conducting sham marriages. And so I was looking him up. This is a true thing about him. He's also in the Guinness Book of Records for conducting the wedding of the world's tallest married couple. And I thought maybe it wasn't. Maybe it was four illegal immigrants. In a speech this week, David Cameron said that immigration is too high and suggested that immigrants who are unwilling to speak English are disrupting local communities. According to Cameron, real communities are bound by common experiences forged by friendship and conversation, knitted together by all the rituals of the neighbourhood, from the school run to the chat down the pub. Where does he live? Camberwick Green. When asked if he was concerned about offending immigrants with the speech, the Prime Minister said, it's fine, they won't understand what I'm saying anyway. 3 points to Jack, he's off and running. Frederick, Fred, who isn't confident about being nursed back to health?
Oh, it's an easy one, thank you very much.
Pleasure.
It's Andrew Lansley.
No. So, next...
This was just earlier on in the week when the Royal College of Nurses were having their conference. It was in Liverpool. Mm-hmm. They had a vote of no confidence in Andrew Lansley, and he got a fantastic return, 99%. It just goes to show that things are obviously working. So he was in London. He heard the news that things weren't going quite so well, so he went up to Liverpool and faced them. He said, "Look, I'm really sorry that you don't understand me. I apologise that you're too thick to know what's going on."
He said, "Sorry that what I'm intending to do hasn't communicated itself to you." So he's already talking about himself in the third person, which is a bit disturbing.
So what's he going to do, reprint the health bill in bigger font or do drawings in crayon? What's
he looks a bit like Clive Sinclair after the C5, Dave Barclay. He's invented something that's ridiculous and everyone thinks it's crap, and he's still quite proud of it, but he knows he's the only person in the world who thinks it's a good idea.
It was marvellously passive-aggressive, what he did. I'm fascinated by that, because I'm a very passive-aggressive person, and I notice it in strange ways, like when my better half says something, "I cannot bring myself to say you're right. I always say you're not wrong." And he actually said, "If this is what you think it is, then I would have voted against me as well," which is a beautiful double bluff. You can imagine them all sitting going, okay. The press were allowed in. I think at one point they weren't going to let the press in. Initially, he'd said, "No,
but
I don't want
any press."
You can
understand his fear, because you remember when Tony Blair addressed the WI?
The WI, yeah.
I mean, they gave him a slow hand clap. These nurses have got rectal thermometers, do you know what I'm saying?
It's very difficult, though, when 99% of the audience are against you. But when they're all nurses as well, it makes it doubly hard. I'm glad he didn't feel ill there.
Yeah.
Imagine that. Imagine that announcement. Is there a medic in the house? No, not one. OK. Sorry, Andrew, you're on your own.
What a crowd not to believe you. I mean, these are people who are convinced by those sort of excuses. Oh, it was late and I was cleaning my thigh when the vacuum cleaner switched itself on. Do you know what I mean?
You said you wouldn't bring that up.
Sorry. Had to come out somehow. I've made myself feel unwell. After receiving a resounding vote of no confidence, Health Secretary Andrew Lansley has apologised to the Royal College of Nurses for failing to explain his healthcare reforms clearly enough. Andrew Lansley knew it wasn't going to be a pleasant day when he arrived at the conference to find all 65 nurses pulling on latex gloves and opening a tube of lubricating gel. As the vote was taking place, Ed Miliband held a press conference to attack the government's health policy, but nobody noticed. 2 points to Fred. Jeremy, what was unveiled on the continent this week?
Oh, it's the bloody French. Racist. Bloody French. Racism's in their blood, I tell you. It's just your routine Muslim bashing by our European partners. They're offended by women wearing burqas and niqabs. It's not liberated, so we will force them to be liberated, and if they refuse, we will put them in prison. And you think, well, you know, so you don't like... Well, as long as a burqa matches the shoes, who cares? You know, you can't... We don't all like seeing what people wear. Sometimes you see someone and you think you really shouldn't be wearing those leggings. On the other hand, I'm glad you are. And the burqa, actually, if looked at in a different way, is a very liberating garment because it's very neutral. A woman can wear it. She won't be judged on her age, on her race, on her appearance. It looks smart and professional at all times. You'd never be late for work. You just pop it on. If you're running late, you can slip it on over your gym jams. How cool would that be? You're doing a presentation. No one knows that underneath you're wearing pyjamas and holding a teddy. If it's boiling hot in the office, you can be naked at work. No one would know. Never be late for work. Set the alarm 2 minutes before you've got to be out of the house. Jump up, brush teeth, burqa on, out the door. Don't feel like going in. Send a couple of the kids, one on top of the other.
Do you know that the same week that women in France were campaigning to wear the burqa in this country, it was National Cleavage Day?
I once bought a pair of shoes in a shoe shop, not surprisingly.
You conventional sirs.
I know. And from a woman wearing a burqa. But ever since, I've had this slight niggling thing in the back of my mind that when I see someone with a burqa, I want to say hello, because I don't know if I... I know them or not. And if she sees me and recognises me, she'll think, oh, that's typical. He's very friendly in the shoe shop when I was serving him, but now he just wants to walk past as if I don't know him. So every time I see someone in a burqa, I tend to sort of go, hi. The shoes are really comfortable.
Do you normally bond with people and keep in touch when they sell you shoes? Surely ordinary people are just the sort of chaff that we see blow away in the wind as we stroll through our blessed lives. I mean, they're marvellous with their hands, but you wouldn't want much to do with them, would you? One of them fixed the drains. I was very grateful. I made him a cup of coffee, but they don't appreciate cafetiere coffee. They prefer instant.
In terms of if you're banning clothing, top of my list would be culottes. Yes. No one should ever wear culottes. No. If you don't know what they are, they're not trousers, they're not a skirt, they're just horrific. I don't know. And for someone of a shorter stature, it just makes me look like MC Hammer when I wear them. It's just... My mum bought me some when I was at school. She used to buy me the outfits from a school disco. Polka dot culottes. Why don't you just put a sticker on me saying, do not touch.
Socks with sandals for men.
Yeah. No, that's good.
No!
Flip-flops. Yeah. They're rubbish flip-flops. What are they for? They're not sandals, they're not slippers. The only good thing about them is you can put them on without bending, which means they're suitable for old people who don't wear them because old people have scary eagle feet. Dressed for winter all year round anyway.
Do you know what? I just love this. In France, they've had a heated debate about the burqa. We have moved on to flip-flops and clogs.
That's because we're less racist than the bloody frogs. That's why. We're tolerant about what people wear. Birds should be allowed to wear what they want. Emmeline Pankhurst didn't set fire to herself in a letterbox, or whatever she did, or sit on a horse not sideways.
Set herself on fire in a letterbox.
Right, back to the point thing. This is the news that French police have issued their first penalty to a woman for covering her face with an Islamic veil. Under French law, both the burqa and niqab are banned, although there is a loophole allowing the garment to be worn if it is a traditional French stripy one. 2 points to Jeremy at the end of round one. The scores are Susan and Jeremy have got 4 points, but Jack and Fred are in the lead with 5. We start round two with a cutting from the Cornishman.
A councillor has responded to complaints about the state of local toilets, saying Cornwall Council is going to close some of the grottier facilities. Let's try and start with a clean sheet of paper.
And our thanks to Linda Collins for sending us that. Jack, who is finding that running a country is becoming too much of a trial?
I'm thinking of so many people at the moment in that position, really, aren't there, around the world? The trial is Berlusconi,
it
then,
is
it?
Yes.
Yes. No one knows why. He's decided he won't stand for the next election. I think he's going to wait until the one after that so that all his girlfriends are old enough to vote for him. He's in court at the moment on trial.
3 separate cases.
He's remarkable, though. Well, you remember when he's attacked by that lunatic with a statue of the Eiffel Tower? And he had to go to hospital, and then he was taken to the dentist to have his teeth fixed up. Well, it was at the dentist, it was the dental nurse who turned out to be his contact, whereby he got all these prostitutes. When I read that, I thought, well, I've been to the dentist, obviously, you know, several times. And they've had a very long conversation with the dentist or the dental nurse, for that matter. But whenever I have had a conversation, it's basically been tooth-related. I've not slipped into the conversation. Thanks very much. That's a lot better now. Thank you. By the way, do you know where I can get some prostitutes? You almost have to admire someone who is so obsessed that even when his face has been stitched up, he's still talking to people about, where can I get some women around here?
Do you know what, Jack, could you just say the word allegedly really nicely and then the producer can edit it in wherever we need it? Could you just say that?
Allegedly.
Thank you very much.
And could you say the word child banging fascist mafioso?
But there was the bizarre bits that are coming out in this trial. This party that one of the trials is about, they said they were so appalled by what they saw, they asked to be taken home. And one of Berlusconi's aides said, if you want to go, fine, but you can forget about becoming TV weather girls. Do you remember when having some understanding of meteorology? I suppose Michael Fish had to dance for Edward Heath.
I have a weird feeling that Edward Heath would really have liked that. said in the paper he's announced who his successor is going to be. You think, are they allowed to do that when the election's supposed to be coming up?
It's Angelino Alfano, and he's his current justice minister. You think, Berlusconi's got a justice minister. It's like discovering Eric Pickles has got a personal trainer. It's a sort of... Italian Prime Minister Silvio Berlusconi has confirmed he does not intend to run for office again when his term expires in 2013 so that he can spend more time with other people's daughters. Despite being 74, Berlusconi is young at heart, believing you're only as old as the woman testifying against you in court. It's not a good time to be in charge anywhere, though, anywhere in the world, is it? It's a bit, it's a bit tricksy.
No, it's not a job for life anymore, is it?
No. I felt slightly sorry for Lauren Bagbo, you know, the Ivory Coast guy. You knew it was all over for him. They made him put on a floral shirt.
I know. I know. That's Lauren Bagbo is a sort of advocate of alternative voting system, isn't he, really? He's a sort of early tryout. One man, one vote. I'm the man who votes.
2 points to Jack. Susan, have a listen to this. You got me big. Watch and marvel how we make that musical clue work. That was Mercy by Duffy. Susan, whose turn was it to get duffed up this time?
I think it's a woman that many of us had thought we would never hear of again, Gillian Duffy, notorious for being the source of problems with Gordon Brown in the last elections. In one of the most contrived meetings since Michael Caine met Jaws in Jaws 4 The Revenge, Gillian Duffy met Nick Clegg. What happened was the Labour MP, Dan Chuck, is that his name?
Yes, yeah.
Was on the phone to Gillian, because they're good friends now. She made him a nice cheese and onion pie. Don't know why that was relevant to the news story, but it was all over the news.
He said to the press, she made me cheese and onion pie, it was very nice. You should have heard what he said about her in the car afterwards.
And Nick came in, and I think he knew this was on the cards. He'd been warned, so he walked in, and Gillian went, right, Nick, I'm paraphrasing. Right, Nick, I want some answers. Why did you go in with the Tories and not with Labour? And he went, and then she said, look...
Are you still paraphrasing?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then she said, look me in the eye, Nick, and tell me that you agree with the cuts. And he went, well, it's very difficult. And that was it. I don't think it's got the same import, really, as the Brown Duffy.
No, because when she met Gordon Brown, it was seen as the sort of final nail in the Labour coffin. Yeah. For the Lib Dems, it's almost as if she's a bit late for the party.
Yeah.
I just also colourless. Gillian Duffy is a sort of grim reaper of politicians in this country. But, you know, all over Africa, you've got dictators being rounded on by revolutionaries, and we've just got this old woman with carrier bags talking common sense to the occasional... It's dreary as anything, isn't it?
Gillian Duffy, the woman Gordon Brown referred to as bigoted during the 2010 general election campaign, took on Nick Clegg this week during the Deputy PM's visit to a factory in Rochdale. When Clegg talked Gillian through his decisions, she complained it was the same speech he'd given on the radio an hour ago. Clegg replied that these days, hanging on to an opinion for an hour for him wasn't bad going.
Now that the microphones are turned off, can we all admit that Radio 4 listeners are petty bourgeois weirdos?
I listen to Radio 4, I'll have you know, Jeremy.
At the end of round two, the scores are Susan and Jeremy have got 8 points, but Jack and Fred remain in the lead with 9. Before we start round three, here's a cutting from the corrections column for the New York Times.
Our article about drilling for oil in Angola contained a factual error. No cows, smuggled or otherwise, ever fell from a plane into a Japanese fishing rig. We apologise for any distress caused.
And our thanks to John Green for sending us that. Jack, who says that happiness is just a few steps away?
Are they called a commission for happiness?
It's Action for Happiness.
Action for Happiness, at last.
They're the paramilitary wing of Commission for Happiness.
But it is, as you can imagine, it's a weight off my shoulders. For years, I've carried this burden on my own.
You're a little ray of sleet, aren't you, Jack?
They encourage things like exercise and helping people, volunteering, connecting with others. We all know those things make you happy. We're not stupid, we're stubborn and lazy. There is a difference.
I think, Sandy, that you're wasting your time north of the border.
Do you think?
Oh, aye. They tried introducing that happiness thing.
No.
Didn't it work?
No. But you've got Buckfast, so you're fine.
They had pictures of people in the street and they had those signs saying free hugs. Now, I don't want to touch a stranger, never mind hug a stranger, because I think it's weird. And also, I have a slight paranoia that I'm going to at some point be fitted up for a crime. I don't know why, but I keep thinking it's going to happen. Now, if I hug you, I might leave some form of DNA on you. Now, I know this is far-fetched, but listen, what I like to do is I like to go home of the evening and know who I've touched.
Well, don't drink any more, Susan. About 8 years ago, in Brixton, about 6:30 in the morning, I was in the street and someone came up and said, "Can I have a pound?" And I said, "Yes, you can have a pound." And I gave her a pound and she said, "That's really nice of you, that's lovely. Can I have a hug?" And I thought, well, it's a bit much to pay somebody and then not give them a hug. I could have said, all right, you can have another pound if I don't have to hug you. But I thought, well, you know, I can't reject. She's trying to show appreciation. So I said, yeah, all right. And she hugged me and stole my wallet.
Is that true?
Yeah, that is true.
You thought you were in there, didn't you?
Your
little creep wandering around Brixton at that time of day.
Actually, this is another story. A prostitute came up to me in the street and asked me if I wanted sex, and I said no. And she said, "Oh, go on, I need the money to get home." I said, "Oh, look, I'll just give you the money." And I gave her 20 quid. And she said, "Oh, thanks, love," and gave me a hug. And I thought, that's what we need in this country, is more platonic prostitutes.
After announcing that Britain was becoming increasingly miserable, the group Action for Happiness has launched a 10-step guide as to how we can create a happier society. I reckon I can do it in three, and two of those are gin. The other one's pickled fish, in case anybody wants. One of the actions they suggest is to look for the good in those around you. Well, I'll probably wait till I get home to try that. 2 points to Jack. Jeremy, which sitting ducks proved surprisingly hard to catch?
This story was written up as though we're reflexively supposed to say that's ridiculous, in the same way that Richard Littlejohn puts in things like they have leaflets in different languages in women's refuges these days, and you're supposed to be appalled, but you think, and what part of that are we opposed to? And this story is that the fire brigade were brought in to rescue some ducklings. Well, who wouldn't rescue ducklings? Surely, if you join the fire brigade, you think, if me joining the fire brigade saves the life of one duckling, it would be worth... How could you
darling,
look? Darling, orphan
five
duckling.
Five fire engines and two lifeboats.
So now, those ducklings will have thought that the fire brigade were their parents, like in Tom and Jerry, and they'll follow them around forever.
Jeremy, one of the fire trucks turned up with a barbecue, and that was
But saving ducks from water, I mean, it's...
Their mother had died. They were orphan ducklings.
Darling,
on their...
Like,
listen, if it was a Disney film, we'd all be in tears, but somehow the reality of it hardens people's hearts.
It's like saving a squirrel from a tree or John Prescott from a buffet. It's...
Ducklings are... They're very early, though. Because I was in Battersea Park the other day, there was no ducklings. Mind you, the carp eat the ducklings in Battersea Park. Why have they got carp? Well, you can't
Nature
see
Watch
them.
With Jeremy Hardy.
They said the ducklings were taken somewhere warm where they'll be loved. I thought, oh, inside a duvet. Right.
You have no heart, Toxfig. You cold-blooded Nordic Viking Nazi. Just because you live in a land of darkness and depression. There once was an ugly duckling. Actually, no, that was a swan. That doesn't count.
In Lincolnshire this week, five fire engines and two lifeboats were called out to save 12 orphaned ducklings on the River Antrim.
They don't have fires anymore. There's smoke alarms everywhere. They've got to do something.
Nick Granger from the Scunthorpe Fire and Rescue Service said the large number...
What if it was your mum, hey? Then you... you wouldn't say, oh, well, it's just someone's mum. She knew the risk she was taking when she got in there. You wouldn't say that, no.
Leave it, Sandy, he's not worth it.
Duckling thousands of people too.
Spokesman for the fire service said the large number of fire crews in attendance enabled them to practice their water rescue skills, meaning they'll be able to save more people in the future, so long as they're 2 inches high.
Yes, Sandy. You're going to leave this building and there's going to be 14 ducklings towering over you outside. Want to talk about drowning? Do we talk, Svig? Want to have a word about that?
And no points to Jeremy. Yes. So, before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along, Mr. D.
Got this from FridayAd.com for sale. A set of three illuminated gnomes, approximately 12 inches high, with power supply and transformer. Be the envy of your neighbours and increase the value of your house overnight.
Mr. McCauley.
This is from Gary Bell. It's from the ITV Digital TV listings. Send in the dogs. More from the series that follows the police dog squad. A raid in a South London shop is foiled by PC Smith and his dog Kelly, aided by a Metropolitan Police helicopter using thermal imaging.
Ms. Gelman.
This is from Tim Gander, and it's one of the comment sections from the Daily Mail, an article about political correctness gone mad. The flag of St George should fly from every British home, as does the flag of the USA fly from many homes over there. The police should wear the St George badge on their uniform. This is England. If anyone finds it offensive for us to be proud of being English, they should leave the country. And that's from Sue, who lives in France.
Mr. Hardy.
This is from Michael Babcock, and it says, I'm attaching a clipping about an incident in Spartanburg County, Southern California, and the headline is, Strip Search Finds Crack Between Buttocks.
Let's take a look at the final score. Susan and Jeremy have got 10 points, but this week's runaway winners are Jack and Fred with 13. Before we leave you, here's a cutting from the Sunday Times.
One of Israel's best-known glamour models has been bitten on the breast while posing with a boa constrictor. Miss Fox was given a tetanus shot. The snake has since died of silicon poisoning.
And with that, goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Jack Dee, Fred McCauley, Susan Kalman and Jeremy Hardy. In the chair was Sandy Toksvig, and the news was read by me, Harriet Cass. The chair's script was written by Gareth Gwynn, John Hunter and James Kettle, with additional material by Billy Hill, Ben Partridge, Andy Walton and Celia Pacola. The producer was Sam Bryant.